So God doesn't want you to achieve the bare minimum. He wants you to do tremendous things. And we can see that through Joseph's story. In week one of our series, we saw how even though he had big dreams, that Joseph was a bit misguided. And when he found himself beaten and sold as a slave, he held on to his principles and his faith and was promoted in the house of Potiphar. And last week, week two, we learned how to handle the road bumps by having patience in the process and to trust God, remember his promises, and recognize God's hand on our life. So today I want to talk about how do we rebound? How can we restart? How can we set goals the way Joseph did? And how do we go about the process of living God's purpose for our lives? How do we live on purpose? And as an aside, I want you to kind of be in a silent prayer or thinking about these four areas of your life as we go through today's service. It may not make much sense now, but just bear with me. Be thinking about what God wants to do in these four areas of life, your faith, your family, your finances, and your fitness. All right, so just keep those areas in your top of mind, praying through it a little bit, thinking through it. So we left off last week when Joseph was in prison. And things were looking up. He had met a couple of high-ranking prisoners, I guess if you could call them that, Pharaoh's baker, and also his cupbearer. And Joseph, being the helpful fellow that he is, he interpreted their dreams. Now, one of these guys, the interpretation was really good, and the other guy, not so much. So today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 41. If you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles, open up your apps, get it locked and loaded. Chapter 41, you can follow along. I would like to just kind of read this next chapter in the amazing life of Joseph. I'm reading from the Message translation today. I just like the way it flows a little bit better. So here we go. I'm just going to read through Genesis chapter 41. 2 years passed and Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile River. Seven cows came up out of the Nile, all shimmering with health, and grazed on the marsh grass. Then seven other cows, all skin and bones, came up out of the river after them and stood by them on the bank of the Nile. The skinny cows ate the seven healthy cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He went back to sleep and dreamed a second time. Seven ears of grain, full-bodied and lush, grew out of a single stalk. Then seven more ears grew up, but these were thin and dried out by the east wind. The thin ears swallowed up the full healthy ears. Then Pharaoh woke up. When morning came, he was upset. He sent for all the magicians and sages of Egypt. Pharaoh told him this dream, but they couldn't interpret it for him. The head cupbearer then spoke up and said to Pharaoh, I just now remember something. I'm sorry, I should have told you this long ago. Once when Pharaoh got angry with his servants, he locked me and the head baker in the house of the captain of the guard. We both had dreams on the same night, each dream with its own meaning. It so happened that there was this young Hebrew slave there with us. He belonged to the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, each dream separately. Things turned out just as he interpreted. I was returned to my position, and the head baker was impaled. Pharaoh at once sent for Joseph. They brought him on the run from the jail cell. He cut his hair, put on clean clothes, and came to Pharaoh. I dreamed a dream, Pharaoh told Joseph. Nobody can interpret it, but I've heard that just by hearing a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered, not I, but God. God will set Pharaoh's mind at ease. Then Pharaoh explained his dream to Joseph. Verse 25. Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's two dreams both mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh what he is going to do. The seven healthy cows are 7 years, and the seven healthy ears of grain are 7 years. They're the same dream. The seven sick and ugly cows that follow them up are 7 years, and the seven scrawny ears of grain dried out by the east wind are the same. 7 years of famine. The meaning is what I said earlier. God is letting Pharaoh in on what he is going to do. 7 years of plenty are on their way throughout Egypt, but on their heels come 7 years of famine, leaving no trace of the Egyptian plenty. As the country is emptied by famine, there won't be even a scrap left of the previous plenty. The famine will be total. The fact that Pharaoh dreamed the same dream twice emphasizes God's determination to do this and do it soon. So Pharaoh needs to look for a wise and experienced man and put him in charge of the country. Then Pharaoh needs to appoint managers throughout the country of Egypt to organize it during the years of plenty. Their job will be to collect all the food produced in the good years ahead and stockpile the grain under Pharaoh's authority, storing it in the towns for food. The grain will be held back to be used later during the 7 years of famine that are coming on Egypt. This way the country won't be devastated by famine. Pretty smart. This seemed like a good idea to Pharaoh and his officials. Then Pharaoh said to his officials, "Isn't this the man that we need? Are we going to find anyone else who has God's spirit in him like this?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "You are the man for us. God has given you the inside story. No one is as qualified as you. From now on, you're in charge of my affairs. All my people will report to you. Only as king will I be over you." It's powerful. So Pharaoh commissioned Joseph, "I'm putting you in charge of the entire country of Egypt." Wow. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his finger and slipped it onto Joseph's hand. He outfitted him in robes, the best linen, put a gold chain around his neck. Well, he was looking good. He put the second-in-command chariot at, now he's got a ride. They put the second-in-command chariot at his disposal, and he rode around, and people shouted, "Bravo! Joseph's doing good." Joseph was in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Pharaoh told Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. But no one in Egypt will make a single move without your stamp of approval." Verse 47, "During the next 7 years of plenty, the land produced bumper crops. Joseph gathered up the food of the 7 good years in Egypt and stored the food in cities. In each city, he stockpiled surplus from the surrounding fields. Joseph collected so much grain, it was like the sand of the ocean. There was so much that he finally quit keeping track." Verse 53, "Then, dun dun dun, Egypt's 7 years, 7 good years came to an end, and the 7 years of famine had arrived, just as Joseph had said. All countries experienced famine. Egypt was the only country that had bread." "When the famine spread throughout Egypt, the people called out in distress to Pharaoh, calling for bread. He told the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph, do what he tells you.' As the famine got worse all over the country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold emergency supplies to the Egyptians. The famine was very bad. Soon the whole world was coming to purchase supplies from Joseph." I don't even know why people would ever say that the Bible is boring when there's stories like Joseph's. He's gone from favorite son to slave to prisoner to an effective ruler of one of the ancient world's most powerful empires. Wow. But here's the thing, is Joseph didn't just arrive at this status of Pharaoh's second in command. No, he had dreams. He had a God-led vision. He had principles and goals that he stuck to throughout his whole life. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Why must you set goals for your life? Why? Because it's about your future. Your potential, your possibilities, making the best of the rest of your life. So this morning, we're going to talk through 3 reasons you need to set goals for your life. Number one, it's there in your notes. Number one is goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. God has goals for this earth, for the universe, for history. God has goals for eternity. And the Bible tells us certainly he has goals for you. Jesus set goals often. He would announce them publicly, what his next goal was. He'd say, I'm going to do this now, or I'm going to do this now. And he would publicly announce what his next goal was in the next phase of his ministry. He would announce that. And we also see that Paul, in the Bible, we see that Paul sets goals. In Philippians 3, 12 through 15, this is from the Message translation. It says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal. The what? The goal. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onwards toward Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. What? That goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you has something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. You're either going to go through life by design or by default. You're either going to set goals and decide what is important in your life, or other people are going to decide it for you. If you don't have goals in your life, you're not living, you're just reacting. Joseph had a vision. He wanted to be in a position where he could make a difference in the world. He wanted this so strongly and thought about it so much that he would even dream about it. Joseph desired it. That's in your notes today. Joseph desired it passionately. And it was for this reason that his brothers were so angry with him. They understood that what he spoke of was not just a dream. It was a clear and strong desire and vision from God for his life. Goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Number two in your notes. Number two, goals are statements of faith. Goals are statements of faith. If you're a believer in Jesus, then when you're setting goals, what you're saying is, I believe, and that's faith. You say, I believe God wants me to accomplish this by this time. That's a statement of faith. This is what I believe God is going to do. Okay? And goals, they're not just a statement of faith, but they stretch your faith. They stretch your faith. And the bigger the goal, the more your faith is stretched. And that pleases God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you don't have any goals, you don't need any faith. If you don't need any faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you're walking through life with no goals, you're not taking any risks. You're not stretching your faith. You're being unfaithful. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything. God can do what? Anything, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. I don't know, I can dream up some pretty crazy stuff. I mean, seriously, but God is bigger than that. If you're thinking small or dreaming small, God will show up in a small way. Listen, as your friend and as a pastor on staff here at Grace Hill, I want you to succeed. I want you to do great things. And I dare you. I dare you to dream big. Stop putting yourself in, you know, little bitty boxes and no more small thinking, saying I'm too young or I'm too old or I don't have enough money or I'm not pretty enough or whatever. Just stop all the arguments and start dreaming of what God could do in your life if you would just trust him. Joseph was a dreamer. It's in your notes. Joseph was a dreamer. And all significant reality begins with a dream. The great achievers throughout time started their life's journey with a dream. The definition of a dream is, check this out, vision that sounds and looks impossible when you measure it against your current stage in life and your past experiences. Whew. When I read that, that was pretty heavy. Let me say it again. The definition of a dream is vision that sounds and looks impossible when you measure it against your current stage in life and your past experience. The example of Joseph dreaming as a 17-year-old Hebrew shepherd that one day he would be king illustrates the powerful possibilities that could be unleashed with a dream. And with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Two common mistakes that we make when we're setting goals is, one, we set them too low. And two, we try to accomplish them too quickly. I want to challenge you over the next week or so to dream big. Big dreams. And set big goals in such a way that you have to rely on God to achieve them. And I want you to write them down. Write them down. That's a big step. What you need to decide is that the past does not equal the future, and that you are prepared to take on and accomplish something that you have never done before. Be the change that you want to see. Be the change that you want to see. And by the way, the difference between a dream and a goal is that you put a deadline on it, okay? This is what I want to do in the next 10 days or 90 days or year, etc. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. As you begin to set and move forward on your goals for 2015 and beyond, I want you to ask yourself this question. Will this require me to have faith? Am I really going out on a limb here? Because listen, don't be afraid to go out on a limb, because that's where the fruit is. Fruit's not at the trunk. It's out on a limb. And I want you to be used by God in ways that you have never, ever imagined. Goals are statements of faith. Number three in your notes, number three is, goals focus my energy. Goals focus my energy. Goals keep you from wasting time and energy and money, reputation. You see, selection is the key. Selection is the key. It's not these 50 things that I dabble in. It's this one thing that I do. Focus is the key to an effective life. The more you focus your life, the more powerful and strong, the more effective your life is going to be. And you will change the world. Doesn't seem like it now, but you, when you're focused, can change the world. Have you ever been low on energy? I mean, really, have you ever been low on energy? In America today, one of the most consumed beverages is energy drinks. Energy drinks. I mean, our whole creative theme for this sermon series, you know, centers around coffee. How many of you start your day with a cup of coffee? Most of you, yeah. I see, yeah. Yeah, like 3/4 of the day, and then just a little bit after that, and then maybe sometimes, right? It's like most of us are powered by Starbucks. But the best way to have energy, emotional and mental energy, is have something to focus it on. And goals, they help you take this energy, this massive amount of energy that God has placed inside of you, and focuses it. But for many of us, you're probably saying, I don't have enough energy, and I'm wiped out, I'm tired, I can't keep up with what I have. That's because your energy is diffused. Let me give you an example. If you take a light bulb, and you plug it into an energy source, right, like a 60-watt light bulb, everybody picture that. It's designed to disseminate energy. Its purpose is that you can put it in a lamp, you can put a shade on it, and it lights a corner. Okay? But that same power, if it's focused and not spread out or diffused in many different ways, if the energy is focused, it goes from being a light bulb to a laser. A laser that can cut steel, and that's what focus does. You can spend your life, you can waste your life, or you can invest your life. Now, there are only a few things in your life that are actually worth doing, worth investing in. The key to an effective life as a woman of God or a man of God is to do that which matters most and forget everything else. Goals will focus your life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I do not run without a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. He's saying, I'm not playing around. I'm not pretending. I'm fighting to win. I'm boxing to win. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Have you ever heard the statement that failing to plan is planning to fail? In order to succeed, you need a clear roadmap that will guide you on the best possible route to achieve your goal. Joseph appeared in front of Pharaoh for one reason, to interpret his dreams, and he did that job very well. However, he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He knew that in order to keep Pharaoh's dreams from fading away, to ensure they became a reality, a proper and detailed plan of action was required. Joseph had a plan, and it's in your notes today. Joseph had a plan, and you need to have a plan. Joseph continued to advise Pharaoh in great detail as to what measures were necessary to achieve the goal of saving the entire region. Joseph suggested a detailed plan with precise methods on how to save during the good years in order to lessen the burden of the hungry years. Joseph knew that failing to have a plan would mean that his dream would fade out as many dreams do. And I want you to win, and God wants you to win. So don't run without a goal. So here's where the faith, family, finances, and fitness part comes in. In your notes today, we made a little room for you to set some goals in these key areas of your life. Now, I know that's not enough room for some of us to write really detailed out goals. They're there to get you started. That little space is there to get you started. And in order to set godly goals for your life, you need to ask yourself these three questions. Number one, will this goal honor God? Not every goal that you can set is a good goal. Not every goal that is a goal that God is going to bless. So in these key areas of our life, we want to set goals that God is going to bless and give you the power to achieve. What kind of goal will God honor? Any kind of goal that will cause you to trust Him more, depend on Him more, love Him more, to love other people, to serve God, to serve others, those are good goals. Number two, ask yourself, is this goal motivated by love? Is this goal motivated by love? Keep this question in mind when setting goals for your finances and relationships. God's not going to honor a goal that is set out of greed. I just want to make a whole lot of money. God's not going to honor a goal that's motivated out of competition. I want to be better than that company. God's not going to bless a goal that's set out of envy or grief or guilt or grudges. God's not going to bless a goal that's motivated by materialism or ego or pride. But when you set a goal out of love, saying, God, I want to do this because I want to love you and other people more, God is going to honor that. Why is it important to set goals out of love? Because if you set them otherwise, you're going to run over people. You're going to treat them like projects in order to achieve your goals. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. And number three, will this goal require depending on God? Will this goal require depending on God? Proverbs 16:9 says, We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. We get to live the way that we want. We get to live the way that we want to live, but it says that God gives us the ability to actually do it, to make the transformation. Why? Because God gives you the three things you must have to reach your goal. God gives you the three things that you need to reach your goal, and one is I need God's Spirit to empower me. It's not willpower, it's God's power. It's not willpower, it's God power. Number two, I need God's word to guide me. I need God's word to guide me. The Bible is the owner's manual for life. The more you get his word into your mind, into your heart, the more successful, the more fulfilled and strong you're going to be. And finally, the third thing that you need or you get from God is I need God's people to support me. I need God's people to support me. You'll not be able to reach your goals all on your own. It takes a team to fulfill a dream, or as I like to say, it takes teamwork to make the dream work. This is why connection groups are so big here at Grace Hill. A crowd can't support you, but a small group can. A connection group can. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, by yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. That could be your faith goal as you start setting some God-filled goals for your life. That could be your faith goal, is joining a group. Or maybe God's telling you, I need to attend church every Sunday over the next 3 months, 6 months, a year. I need to do my best every Sunday to get there. Set a goal to fast and to pray for 10 days, to hear from God, and dream big dreams. What about your finances, your finance goal? Do you have a loan? Do you have a loan that with big faith, you could get that sucker paid off this year? Huh? Maybe. Maybe that's your goal. Do you have a giving goal? Do you have a number or something that it's in your mind that God's kind of placing on your heart? Are you stretching your faith and your tithing? How about your family goals? You set those yet for this year? What about dinner? Three times a week, no electronics. Whew. Whoa. I just said that. Or maybe a family prayer time or discussion time to go over the lesson from Grace Kids from that Sunday. You take the time to do that. Maybe that's a goal and you set it and you do it. How are your fitness goals looking? You use that gym membership yet? Still paying for it. They love getting your money. You're still sitting on the couch. Have you still waiting to start that diet? Monday's coming. I'm starting it on Monday. They had cupcakes on Monday, so Tuesday I'm starting it. Yeah. Pumped. Tuesday. Oh, what a Tuesday came and gone. My first fitness goal 5 years ago literally was this. I wanted to be able to run from my driveway to the stop sign. Okay? And then from there, I set another goal. It was just make it back to the house without my lungs collapsing. Okay? All right? But God inspired me. He inspired me to keep moving forward, and the goal began to grow from there, and it went from running to the stop sign to running a marathon 9 months later. And that happened. And that was God working in me, transforming me. It was huge. If y'all could stand with me this morning. Our groups start this week, and I strongly encourage you to sign up today, because a group is better. A rope braided with three strands is not easily snapped. Take a step of faith. We've made it easy to sign up. I don't know what else we can do. If you want more information, we can give you more information, but just show up. Show up. Sign up, show up. Let that be your goal this week. Take the time to write these goals down as well. I encourage you. If you don't write them down, they're not going to mean anything. Write them down. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we can hear from you this week to set goals that honor you. Lord, I'm praying for a divine inspiration that will stretch us and grow us in ways that we have never imagined. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.